The truth is, good morning. This is one of the most, there are three major components of this conference that I'll be emphasizing. There will be other ones, but this is one of the most important things we brought you here to get. And if you miss it, you miss the whole conference. Doesn't matter what else you are learning. And that point that was being made when I came in, about not just reaching individuals, but reaching families and networks and groups, is so critical. The salvation plan is a family plan. You shall be saved, you and your household. Everywhere God made a move to save somebody, he didn't just pick out the individual, he went after. That angel that came to Sodom did not just go there and pick out Lot. If you notice, the instruction he gave Lot, where are your sons, daughters, and everybody that's married? Go after all of them and bring all of them in. If you notice, when the spies went to Jericho, that was sent by Joshua, and they met one woman, the harlot, Rahab. They didn't just say, okay, tie the scarlet rope around your neck, you are safe, the whole city would be destroyed. They said, no, look, your father, your mother, your sisters, your cousins, everybody, bring them in too. How are you, sir? You're welcome. All of you that came from outside Nigeria, maybe evening is the best time, you know, from outside Nigeria, just give us a wave. Let me. Wow. Wow. Give them a big, big God bless you. Wow. I'm going to make sure we welcome all of you this evening very, very well. All that are leaders of ministries, general overseers, pioneers of church, let me give a wave. Let me see you. Wow. 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 See, so that principle is so important. Everybody Jesus met, he didn't stop with the individual, he went after their social networks, and the disciples began to follow the same example. I don't know whether he has already said that, but you will see that this thing goes after families, social networks, and cities. In the case of the woman at the well, after Jesus touched her, he sat down at that well and then sent her to go and bring the men of the city. You know what we have done? We win the lady and go, and lose the city. You touch a manager of a hotel, go after the whole staff. See how to now go after every customer. If there's something we can put that will be playing in the rooms, in the receptions, that can now begin to affect every customer. You touch, it doesn't matter. It can be, the receptionist. That is the key to the whole company. But what we do, we isolate the person and abandon the rest. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are revolutionary things coming. And this thing is God's end game. This is how the Great Commission will be finished. You know, in this other section, we've completed one side of Priesthood Summit and created just one session to rest. And here. So in this session, I'm going to kind of be a chaplain. You have to get the tapes. Let me, you have to get all the series, on this priesthood thing. There are dangerous things here. Nobody who wants to be a servant of God can be the same if you lay hands on this stuff. Nobody. Doesn't matter who you are. Nobody. Hello, sir. Nobody. I'm kind of going to be your chaplain here. and we have so much to do. Give me that book, this one. Everybody get a copy of this book, How to Lay a World Foundation. And I'm going to advise everybody that comes to Christ, give them a copy. Read it. Get it today. Just read a few chapters. You will see what is inside. So part of what there is no way, nothing we're building that is going to last and go anywhere if we don't build it according to the pattern. If people are not built on the word, if you're among those kind of ministers that have gifts of the Spirit functioning, like me, for example, maybe you are into healings or deliverance, don't be deceived by that. Nothing built on miracles last. Nothing built on prophecy last. Nothing built on manifestations last. You know why they are called signs and wonders? They are the attraction equipment for the church. It's to win the world to Christ, to pull them, is the marketing arm of ministry. It's the part that pulls the city, that breaks down. But the building is discipleship. The building. And here, what we're building is people. How to have a world foundation. One of the biggest problems we are facing now, like in my country here in Nigeria, is spiritual illiteracy. Illiteracy. You know? Because there's so much illiteracy, and that's why false ministries, prophets that are from hell, Gehazis, are thriving. Working on pregnant women, giving people petrol to drink, making people to drink grasses. What is going on in this age? In case you don't know what it is darkness. It's spiritual illiteracy. Hello. So we're now having Big Brother Nigeria and other Nigerians are watching and making millions or billions for all this corrupting, you know. We need to find ways to stimulate the study of the scripture. The knowledge of God's word. Psalm 119, just to, you know. Go down after he talked about the heavens declared his glory. When he finished with creation, he now began the rest of the place is on the word. The rest of it is on the word. Yeah. I think there he gave about the seven ministries of the word. No. Psalm 19 is the one you're talking about. And then Psalm 119 is the one that gave at least 12 ministries of the word. What the word does in the life of people. I don't have the time because that's not my direction now. Just to stimulate you. The law of the Lord is perfect. What is the first thing he does? Converting the heart. It's not you that converts people. It's the word that does it. That's why as we go on the discipleship making, we see that you can start that like discipleship Bible study with unbelievers. You don't need to. But in the course of that, they will discover Jesus. Meanwhile, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making what? Wise. You see, the second ministry of the word, it just makes people wise. Teach it to average performing children, it will upgrade their intelligence to high performing kids. That's what sorted out Daniel. It's not just spirit of wisdom on him. Remember that the word is also spirit. When you are soaking in the word, you are drinking in wisdom, you are drinking the spirit of wisdom. Once you digest it, which happens through meditation and asking God, prayer, to open up your eyes. There are other ministries of the word, for example. So get the book. There are a lot of things, you know, there are a lot of things. Then you will see how some of us, the seven secrets of having photographic memory, how I'm able to carry a large chunk of the Bible in my head. The wife has tried. It's a, what is it? No place I go. You have it here. You will say what. Now you will see how to do it. You see, it's not hard if you know the secret. It's not the normal what they teach you have memorized. No, there are seven secrets. The things you read stays. The things you study stays. And if you also learn it, it will begin to help you with education and other things. Hello. These are the things. There are a lot of things you're going to see here. A lot of things. We need to build a Bible-cultured society. A gospel-cultured society. A society where the word of God governs the lives of the people. They are talking about national development, infrastructure, all of that govern. What about the quality of human beings? Is it the flyovers that kidnap people? Is it the flyovers that do people? Are they the ones that kill people? So, in other words, the biggest thing you can do to change a nation is to disciple that nation. It's the human beings you must tackle first. We need a Bible-cultured society. We need a gospel culture. There is kingdom culture. There are kingdom values. We want to see a new nation. It's governed by love, by justice. The gospel that has changed nations cannot come in our time and now become impotent and weak. There is something we are missing. There's something we are missing, my friends. And we need to rediscover it. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The power that changes society. The power that transforms nations. The power that turns the world upside down. It cannot come in your own generation and become impotent and become weak. No, 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 no. It tells a million times no. The gospel that began by our Lord Jesus Christ, handed down to his apostles that heard him, and now down to us. We are going to rediscover the gospel that works. If your gospel does not change people, your gospel is useless. If your gospel does not bear the fruit of transformed lives, your gospel is impotent. Is a wisdom is justified by her children. Is the product, the offspring, the fruit you are producing that tell us whether what you're doing is wisdom or not. Everybody lift up your hand. You know, I think those are some of the things I can do for you, introduce you to resources. A lot of things God has done. This is probably the fourth priesthood summit we're doing this year. With Lagos now, we conclude the year. Every year now, it will be holding once. But this year was declared the year of priesthood. So, to work on ministry, to restore authentic ministry in the body of Christ. Because we have problem. The failure of priesthood is the foundation of all failures. You hear everything rises and falls on leadership. Spiritual leadership is the foundation of all leadership. If that one collapses, politicians are helpless because it's the spiritual that governs the natural. You want the government to change, men of God need to change first. Because there are things that are outside the control of politics. They can make laws, but they can't change hearts. They can make laws, but they cannot transform behaviors. God put that power in our hands. If this country is going up, we are the ones to take the responsibility. If we learn this secret, that will make disciples and to multiply, we can have a brand new country. And at the rate at which evil is multiplying, we need to learn discipleship multiplication, the art. I don't really want to spend the time reading all of them. You can go and check them after. But add one more verse, the law of the Lord, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Oh, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want revelation. catching stupid revelation that I have no biblical basis. Go back to the Word. That's what opens the eyes and enlightens. That's why the first and the highest of form of education is spiritual education. Before we get to mental. I was speaking somewhere. There are professors that are illiterate because they grew their mind at the expense of their spirit. You're supposed to develop your spirit and then give your spirit a renewed mind, and you will be able to express itself. So you need education. You need mental development. But if the spirit is dwarfed, why the mind is blown? All you have is an intelligent demon. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. Verse 10, by them more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb. No wonder. You know, when people who carry the presence of God walk into a place, there's something that happens. So, because even with your, like, let's assume you have your back torn and whatever, somebody was conducting a meeting, a minister of the gospel, or Robert was the speaker. It was a healing service, one of those tent meetings. And they were waiting for him. He didn't show up. The time for him to start the meeting, he didn't show up. So finally, this other minister saw a lot of people in need. He got up on stage and started preaching. And as he was preaching, somewhere along the way, he said, "Everybody, lift up your hands. The spirit of our robot has just walked into the hall." He said two things. It's either he's somewhere near this building, or maybe in the realm of prayer, he has. He said, even now. And as he just said that, healings began to happen. People started coming out of the wheelchair. And 2 minutes after he said that, the curtain opened, a robot walked in. And people started shouting. They said, so what happened is that he overstayed in prayer. He has a deal, a covenant with God. He said, "God, I will never go without the anointing. If you don't, it's not, I'm not going." It's a healing ministry. It has a healing anointing that goes with it. But then, this minister, he said, by being around him for a while, I tell when that mantle on him is in the environment. Because each of these equipment, there are fivefold ministry, each of them carry certain equipment, and these equipment have certain things they do. They have certain things they do. I was in a conference somewhere, and there's this elderly minister that had become sick and ended up in a wheelchair. And it was a minister's conference. And so the person moderating, the minister, said, "Let us pray for him." And they asked us to stretch our hands to him. And we all prayed for him. And I looked at him. I could see he was in deep, a lot of pains. Not just that he's in a wheelchair, he was. And we all prayed and prayed and prayed. But somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Why are you people wasting time praying for him? Look at Ben Hinn, he's sitting down there. Ben Hinn is going to talk after one person, and his topic is supposed to speak on the Holy Spirit." I said, "I provided these giftings in the church for a purpose. Why are you guys disturbing me when I provided the equipment?" So when we finished praying, they rolled him from his wheelchair back to his place, and nothing happened. So I took note. I'm trying to learn something. And then the speaker that was preaching finished teaching. He was teaching on church growth or something. Then it was Benny Hinn's time, and he came in. His assignment that day was Holy Spirit. Think about it. think this was Yonggi Cho's conference in Korea. I saw your pastor there. He spoke when we went to the stadium. Yes, Doug Mills. I think it was Yonggi Cho or another conference. Yeah. So he got up and, got people to honor the Holy Spirit, and they began to worship everywhere. All of us started worshiping. Me, I didn't know when I was crying. The next thing, I cleaned my eyes, I looked up. The man is out from the wheelchair walking. I have not prayed for the sick. He left me with a deep message on understanding. There is a reason God gave ministry gifts, different gifts in the body. If we don't understand any of those, maybe we don't understand the prophetic office and we ignore it, we are the ones that will be suffering. And somehow, the purpose of God is also hindered. If we don't understand this or that one. So, more to be desired than gold, yeah, than fine gold, sweeter than honey. Yeah, add that verse. There is a verse I'm looking for, and I need to. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. One of the ministry of the word. This is one of the things that the word does. That's a prophet with me in my house, my Bible. Prophet Elijah, the one that's uncompromising. This is it. That's an instructor with me in my house. That's my Bible. That's the one that corrects me and knocks me back into shape. Knock my thinking back into shape. And in keeping them is what? Breakthrough. I think it's one time I saw that there is a blessing just in reading the word, the book of Revelation. But then the obedience is where the goods are. Obedience. That's part of what we're going to be dealing with tomorrow morning. I think that tomorrow, Saturday morning, obedience-based discipleship. Not knowledge-based to learn. Mm-mm. We find that the word of God has said this and is confirmed by others. It's time to do it. Adjust whatever it is. It is people who operate like that that go into the deep. People who just want to get knowledge and run around, they don't practice, are the ones that will remain in the shallow waters. And at the end of the day, they complicate their lives because they are just accumulating truths that are not doing anything with. What he said is teaching them to obey, not teaching them just to know. Yes, we need to know. I'm told that the process of personal transformation is know, be, do, and have. The Nigerian Christian teaches people have it, prosperity. You will break through. Oh, the result, you know, the blessing. There is a blessing. Well, hello, okay, you've gone out of that place. You know, Psalm 19. In keeping them is great reward. We want everybody to have the reward. But we don't teach them to obey the conditions. When I one of the things that have entered my spirit and stayed and is now strong, something Pastor Wampa keeps saying, anytime you're reading the Bible, you see the word if or certain condition, don't jump. Because that's the way it is now. You just jump, claim the blessing, ignore every other thing. We love the goods. We love prosperity. We love to do well. We love success. And I do too. I want things to go well with me. I do. I want things to go well with my children. I want things to go well. In keeping them is where the reward is, not before it. So we say, it's New Testament, it's grace time, you don't need to do anything anymore. I'm looking forward to that session, obedience-based discipleship. Looking forward to it tomorrow morning. In keeping them is great reward. We say, no, it's grace, it's grace. We just claim everything. Everything is by claiming it. You don't need to do anything anymore. Hello. Thank God. Is God Almighty. I'm grateful. You don't want to flee from Uganda or South Africa. From Uganda. Where are the guys that came with you? They are all ministers too. Gentlemen, you're welcome. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. I'm very grateful and I'm appreciative of the Lord for all these ministries that ministers is bringing under this. The real issue is that why he's doing that is that he wants all of us to rediscover the gospel that works. There is a gospel that works. It's the biblical gospel. It changes people and it changes society. Look at what the scripture said, the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When people hear it and believe it and obey it, it changes things. It saves them. It saves the individuals. It will save families. It will save businesses. It will save communities. And it will save nations. But there is this chaff, alternative gospel. This thing. 10 minutes. We once had a minister, a parastatal under the Ministry of Health, with a mandate to solve the problem of fake drug in this country. Because what is the issue about this fake drug? People take it hoping to be healed, hoping to be treated, but now it makes their situations worse. They actually live with false hope, thinking that they got treatment. In some cases, it's actually poison that they were given. That's what the fake gospel does. It also creates false hope. People who are living in sin, who are walking in disobedience, still believe they are going to heaven. And all of them have a claim on the blessing. Everything God promised, they go to the end where the result is. And they claim all of them. And now, people are losing faith in the church, losing faith in Christianity, wondering, they think the thing is failing, that it's not working. In some part of the country, people are returning from Christianity to idol worship. The ministers duped them. They duped the people. So there is need for repairing of the priesthood. There is need for the restoration of authentic priesthood. That's why God brought you here. By that is your servant warned. When I take a step and it's out of line with God's plan, with his standards, is his word that knocks me back into shape. Is his word that also warns me of consequences. And his word that you want prophets, some of you like prophecy, you like to prophesy, or you also want to hear prophecy. There is a prophet in your house, it's your Bible. Is your Bible. Scripture calls it the more sure words of prophecy. When you open it with prayer and ask the author to open up your eyes, because it's not human beings that put this down. Though there are vehicles that were used to write it like, but it is men of God spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, if I'm dictating something and you are writing, you are not writing your thoughts or your intention, you are writing mine that is dictating. Do you know that people say, how did the Bible come? And just fire. You know, sometimes you read it. The Bible tells you how it came. He said all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. But if you want to really study the prophets, in some cases they are given the book, a real book, and told to eat it. And when they finish eating it, in some cases it will be sweet in the mouth, bitter in the... And I'll say, go and prophesy it. You want to know how the book came? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, yeah, it's settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Is settled forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled
in heaven.
Is settled. So that's what the book is all about. So I'm going to be bringing out, you know, at the end of the year, you'll be getting communication. Make sure everybody you registered. Even if you have those who travel from other countries, you want to also do this for your country, you have the right to get as many books as possible. What we want to do is, in secondary schools, in universities, and set up, stimulate people to go back and destroy this level of spiritual illiteracy that is in our country now. Because that is where there is darkness that evil thrives. That's where, that's the habitat for demons, that's the habitat for sin, that's the place, you know, like bacteria, it's a kind of environment where they go, that's where all kinds of evil thrives, is darkness. So we need to destroy the tremendous darkness that is covering our nations now. Spiritual, biblical illiteracy, scriptural illiteracy. And the saddest thing is that it's so huge in ministry today. The men of God don't read their Bible anymore. I don't know. I've asked some pastors. When we finished in the island, there was some group of pastors that came from. I did some brainstorming. People Google sermon. People don't even, some even think the Bible. It just, there are some things I heard. It was very disturbing. Very, very disturbing. Pastors now come, ask people to come with pads to church, pad service. They hold pad service. Because I can see one of the people bringing it. Is it pad use or they go out to supermarket and buy fresh one? Whichever type. That's to receive fruit of the womb or whatever. Is it use or unused? Is that possible inside church? Where are some of those kind of services? The things I heard this week were very extremely disturbing. And many of you now want to be following that because they think it's shortcut to success. What is that success? To drive car, to whatever, I don't know. Yes, what that, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He's a leader of a ministry and they built churches, planted a lot of churches, built school. Build all kinds of things. Every time he calls me for one dedication or another, I've dedicated. Last time it was secondary school I went to dedicate in warming up for university. When you look at him there, don't look at it, don't think he's a small boy. Yes.
And so they have a part service for women believing God for the fruits of the womb. That once you come with that part, that's the last menstrual cycle you will see and take in. So after, during the prayer, everybody will take up. So even if you see
these
it
are
one week
not
before,
men of God. These even, are is not ministry.
Even if you see it 1 week before, just keep the pad or 1 month. You come with the pad to prayer. After you lift it up, you submit it to the altar and go.
Now they do egg services. Is that true?
Pot breaking services.
I was
even pot breaking. They carry pot to.
What is the meaning of that? What is pot breaking?
Some of you may have heard it now. After prayer, you break the pot in the church. Koboko services, machete services. They have heard it, sir. It's not like I'm the only person. Yes,
and the public go.
Yes, sir.
That tells you that we have a big problem in the land. We have a problem. The problem is darkness. Darkness. Gross darkness. Ignorance. Spiritual illiteracy is covering the land. He told me of one where it is goats. I don't know whether it's goat slaughtering. And when those people finish slaughtering, they get home to find their children bleeding. I think they said only people with male kids would do.
Yes, sir.
And when they get home, they find those same male kids bleeding to death. Now, so this epidemic, and is young ministers. There are a few adults, but young ministers. So there is a mass growth of priesthood with no heavenly ordination, with no priesthood garment, that are not consecrated. Just multiplication of Gehazis and all of this. And anybody they touch, they infect them with that leprosy. We need a righteous anger in our soul to go back and redeem the land. And also redeem the priesthood of Nigeria, of the Nigerian church. This is invasion from hell. And we should be the one invading the kingdom of darkness. So, word foundation. You go get it. You will see what it will do for you. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Okay. Can you play that video, the fastest, to augment what Dr. Kurt just taught today about the discipleship making movement? Versus rabbits. Anyway, I don't have the time. What did you say? How long does it take one elephant to reproduce another elephant?
The elephant, first of all, can start reproducing from the age of 18. He has to grow to 18 years.
A whole 18 years?
Yes, sir.
Before he can get pregnant or reproduce?
Yes, sir.
Before he can That's get pregnant. That's the model we are using. A lot of people sit in church 20 years before they learn how to win souls. And by that time, they're impotent. It's young believers that are best soul winners in church. Just put the thing in them. Train them and put the fire. And whatever. They are the best soul winners. That's when they have a testimony of coming out of Egypt. Coming out of sin. Yes, then when it starts, what happens?
So when they take in, after 18 years, the child stays in the womb for 22 months.
That's almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Gestation period.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Before, Go ahead. Look at your slide and...
before they can give birth. And in 3 years, the two elephants become three. So they can give birth to an extra one in 2 years.
And by the time we add it to the 18 years, we have about 21 years to get one child. What about rabbits?
The rabbit.
This is cells, small groups. Every believer doing, reaching other believers. Every disciple making other disciple. Every pastor reproducing other pastors. Everybody reproducing after your kind. That's the law in Genesis chapter 1. Everything God created is to reproduce after his what? Don't come and be doing big man. You are the only intercessor in the church. So that you can be oppressing the church. You are supposed to be reproducing intercessors. You are the only one that can sing. So some Sundays you walk in by 11. The whole church is messed up. I used to have all these problems. We had one keyboardist terrorist. Very talented, very gifted. But because he knew that he wouldn't teach anybody, he wouldn't do training, sometimes he will come to church. He likes when his sermon has finished. And this boy was going to hell because he won't come to see. And then if he plays for worship, some time he will go outside. Yes. Yes. When it's music time, maybe offering time, he will come back. Just Lucifer that fell for hell and fell inside the choir seat. That's what we have. Because, and I will tell you some of the ways we landed ourselves in somebody. You go and get unbelievers and pay them because you need a keyboard. Who told you you need a keyboard to worship? Sir? If you sing him with a, how many keyboards was following Jesus? You know, when they ate communion, they sang him. Who was the keyboardist among the apostles? Disciple. But you see, if they know that their talent is not what you are worshiping, settle down and get disciple. If you don't get circumcised, you are not playing in this church. You settle down. That's what I do now. You can't play. I'll put you on 6 months probation. 1 year, you cannot sing nothing. Until all those Babylon things, demons have left your head. But now, you see how to conquer that. Everything reproducing after is. Don't let one person dominate, because that's how pride comes in. So there's this bread buttered pastors we're now developing now. There has to be, AC must be there, rug, and you have to, you know, this, you have to make everywhere comfortable before they can learn ministry. Those ones, that's why the level of exploit, check those ones. If you check, what they are doing is mind-boggling. The ones we trained in the wilderness, and these ones we're training in the palace. The difference between them. Prophets are not made in the palace. No. It's good to be blessed by God, though. Sometimes leave those things. Sometimes when I want to do real prayer and all that, it's on the floor, self. I come out. You know, I don't understand. Prosperity is good, but it needs to be managed with a particular type of revelation. It needs to be kept in a place where it remains a servant. A tool, not a hindrance. That's the secret. That's what we're trying to teach you. What he said, that Jesus did not say, go plant a church. What he said, go make disciples. The reason is that you make the disciples, they now plant the churches. It's discipleship making movement that leads to church planting movement. You can just build a church, but you don't have disciples. But if you grow human beings, then you will have the manpower to undertake any other thing. That is it. Without making noise, by the time the people that we have been pursuing you, or maybe persecution, for example, in the very tough environment like the Islamic northern part of Nigeria, the thing has gone out of hand. I was in Tunisia, was it not last year or last 2 years, to see the level what God has done in that country without any noise, no poster, no crusade, no nothing. No billboard, no noise, no TV, no radio ministry. Of course, yeah, there were technology broadcasts coming from outside their country, because those there, they will allow them to be on TV. So that, you know, technology combined helping the Air Force, because that's air wave, that's Air Force. When Air Force helps the ground troops, it gives them a leverage. That's what is happening with the Arab world. You can ban whatever you want to ban, but you can't ban the internet. You can't ban the airwaves. So they find ways to pick it. When the men go out, those women sit down, they turn to those Christian children. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They are taught how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they get to them. They say, lift up, just pray. He's about, and Jesus trusts him.